يا وارث أمير المؤمنين ولي الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. The discussion about Ziyarat al-Waritha and Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam and that connection between the two is a very beautiful one, and one that's very relevant in today's day and age. After all, it is a ziyarat that we recite every single Thursday across the globe, and one should realize the importance of this ziyarat. First of all, the discussion on inheritance itself. Many people, when they hear inheritance, they believe it to be a financial inheritance, or perhaps an inheritance of liability or assets, etc., etc. Here, of course, we talk about the idea that Imam Hussein is the inheritor of all the prophets. We're referring to a spiritual inheritance, one that is ma'navi in character, one that talks about the ilm and the maqam and the level and the taqwa of the prophets. And what's beautiful about this ziyarat is that it encompasses those five prophets that are known as the Ulul Adham, or the beautiful prophets, or the chosen prophets, or the higher class prophets, and their associating qualities. There's one point that is important here to make, and that is that if we look at the qualities by which each prophet in the beginning of this ziyarat is remembered by, it is actually a reflection of their perfection in their prophethood. So for example, we start off by talking about Prophet Adam. Prophet Adam is remembered in this ziyarat as the chosen one of Allah, Safwatillah, the one who is chosen. Now, a little bit of a philosophy behind the discussion of Kamal and perfection. We know that every existence has a path. The Holy Prophet says that kullu shay'in tariq, everything has a path. And the purpose of that existence on that path is to reach its perfection. In Surah Jum'ah, ayat number 1, we start off by talking about the idea of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yusabbihu lillahi ma fi samawati wa fi al-ard. Everything in this earth and in those skies does tasbih of Allah. How do we understand the idea of the trees doing tasbih, the sun doing tasbih, the moon doing tasbih, the stars, the planets, the grass doing tasbih? This is a little bit of a complicated discussion, but the Mufassirin have made it a little bit simple for us, in the sense that they say that every existence has been created with its own path, its own capacity, its own destination. And provided you are on that destination and on that path, you are in the form of the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the sun, its purpose, its function is to rise and to set. When it rises, that state of rising of the sun is its tasbih of Allah. The state and the function of its setting at in the evening is its tasbih of Allah. The moon, when it appears in the sky and it takes the light from the sun and illuminates the dark sky, that process is the perfection of the moon. The perfection of a flower, for example, is the smell it gives. The perfection of a rock is that it becomes a diamond or naqiq or a mineral or something that can be of use. The perfection of a fruit is its ripeness. The perfection of ilm is the spreading of it. Everything has its own perfection. The insan, the human being, the prophets even, are no different. We are and have been created for kamal, for perfection. The prophets equally have their own specific set of perfection. And in the case of the prophets that are discussed in the opening of this ziyarat, they are remembered by that avenue of perfection, be it Prophet Adam and his chosen capability, be it the idea that Nabi Ibrahim is the Khalil of Allah, or that Nabi Isa is the Ruh of Allah, or that Nabi Musa is the Kalim of Allah. All these things are specific to that prophet. What's important to understand is that when it comes to Nabi Adam, for example, he's somewhat of a forgotten prophet. He's the first one a long time ago. Sometimes we forget about him. What we don't understand is that he was chosen by Allah to be the representative and the embodiment of the greatest creation of Allah. He is the chosen embodiment of the perfection of Allah's khaliqiyat. There is something called sujood. There is something called sajid, something called masjood. Sujood is the act of prostration. Sajid is one that prostrates. Masjood is the one that's prostrated to. Nabi Adam is the only prophet and the embodiment of the only prophet that is both one who does sujood, who's a sajid, and also a masjood as well. Not in the sense of obedience or ata'at, na'udhu billah, but the idea that Allah took him, referred to him, chose him, as Yad says, to be the embodiment of that creation where he says, every other creation bow down to this creation. That is Nabi Adam's perfection. That's his kamal. That is what the perfection is. And now when you think about that, you think, wow, that's incredible. Nabi Adam reached that stage, but then you think about a man who's inheriting that stage from him as well. Imagine his maqam, imagine his level, imagine his stage altogether. You talk about the idea of Nabi Nuh, Nabi Ibrahim, all these great prophets. They are remembered in Ziyarat al-Warifah as that quality that made them distinct from everybody else and was their own perfection. Point number one is the idea that when we talk about Abu Abdullah al-Husayn inheriting the qualities of the Prophet, they're not just any prophets and not just any qualities. They are the five great prophets and they are remembered by their perfect qualities. Again, not only is it a reflection of the fact that these prophets are great individuals, but the inheritor of those prophets equally have to be a great individual. For example, we have Dua Kumail, right on Thursday. Dua Kumail is not Kumail's dua. It was taught to him by Amirul Mu'mineen. One report says he walked into the masjid, Kumail ibn Ziyad did. Amirul Mu'mineen was in sajda, reciting this beautiful dua that we recite every single Thursday. And he was captivated, mesmerized by this dua. He begged Amir al-Mu'mineen, teach me this dua. Not only did Amir al-Mu'mineen teach him this dua, but he made it mash'ur and famous all over the world with his name as well. Not only is that a praise for Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's also a praise for Kumail ibn Ziyad as well, that he is worthy of such a dua as well. Dua Abu Hamza al-Thamali is one example. Sata Jafar al-Tayyar is another example. All these examples we have in front of us, where not only is it the dua is worthy of praise, but the individual inheriting even the name of that dua is worthy of praise. Imam Hussein is no different. Imam Hussein is not only inheriting a name of the prophets, he is the encompassing perfect qualities of every prophet that existed before him. So this point in the beginning about Nabi Adam and after that all the prophets that are discussed in Ziyarat is very, very important. Point number two, when talks about the inheritance of his father, it's a very important point here. In every other mention of the prophets before that line, when we talk about Amir al-Mu'mineen, they use the prophet by name, Nabi Adam, Nabi Nuh, Nabi Ibrahim. But right after they refer to the Prophet of Allah as the Habib of Allah, they don't use Ali as his name. They send salam to the laqab of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which is not the same as the name, as we know. The laqab is one, the name is a different one. But here we're saying that it's not this idea that Imam Hussein is the son of Imam Ali, so naturally he's the inheritor. Here it's not the idea that he's inheriting from his father. He's inheriting whatever Amir al-Mu'mineen had in his life. There's a big difference there now. All of a sudden now, when it comes to the line of Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's not the mention of the fact, Ya Waritha Ali ibn Abi Talib. No. It's the idea that you are now a Warith of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now, what does that encompass? When we say Amir al-Mu'mineen, it encompasses every antithetical quality of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The beauty of the insan, the ajib creation of the insan, the fact that the insan is such a strange and wonderful creation, is that in one existence, in one creation, you have antithetical qualities that are contradicting each other. On one side, you have Imam Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, in the battlefield, in front of the enemy, he spared nobody. He destroyed them all one by one. You are an enemy of Allah, enemy of mine. I don't spare you. Yes, after multiple chances to give the enemy to either accept Islam or walk away or not fight me, when you're actually ready to fight me, then at that moment I spare nobody. That same heart that is able to kill a man on the battlefield is the same heart that softens at 3 o'clock in the morning on the musalla, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like an infant cries for the milk of his mother. This antithetical nature of Amir al-Mu'mineen was amazing. After a while, when you become the commander of the army like he was for Rasulullah, when you are involved in so many wars, When you see blood the way that Ali saw, when you see a man dying in front of you the way Ali saw, naturally the heart hardens. Sometimes it blackens. And this idea of it again softening is very difficult. But we see sometimes in the span of 24 hours, he fluctuates from the hardening of the heart with the enemy of Allah to the softening of the heart in front of his master. This was incredible. This was not seen in anybody else. This is what is known as antithetical qualities. This is why when the angels this is why when the angels complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that please don't create this creation of yours, the insan, they will do bloodshed and fitna and fasad on this earth. Allah very, very calmly says, "Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun." You know, I know something about this insan that you don't know. And Mufassirin have said part of that which Allah has ilm of is the fact that yes, there is a portion of the insan that is bloodthirsty. خُلُقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. He is created weak, but this portion of his, where when the world is asleep, he is in sajda, subhana rabbi al-a'la wa bihamdi, that also is there as well. So we talk about the inheritance of Imam Hussein towards his father. It's not a simple father-son relationship. It is Imam Hussein inheriting the encompassing qualities of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Not just his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And one quality I want to speak about a little bit today is the concept of shuja'at and courage. You know, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, in the courtyard of Yazid, when he gave his famous khutbah in his sermon, he started off by introducing who the Ahlul Bayt were. Almost as if he was among strangers. And he was. In Sham, of course, their only connection to the Ahlul Bayt was through the teachings of Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan. Muawiyah actually convinced them that those who claim to be the Ahlul Bayt have nothing to do with the deen whatsoever. I am the true Ahlul Bayt. And he announced these individuals who were the true Ahlul Bayt coming from Karbala as people who were attempting to overthrow the Khalifa of yours in Sham and in Damascus. So naturally hostility, anger is there. The first thing Imam Sajjad does is introduce who they were. He uses six qualities to introduce the Ahlul Bayt. And very specifically uses every one of those six qualities. Otherwise, we have a hadith by a Sikh Imam that says, "Nahnu Asmaul Husna." We are the Asmaul Husna. And we know the Asmaul Husna are, sure, 99 is one number. We also know that they are la mahdud, they're not limited. So of all those qualities that Imam Sajjad could have used, he used these six, and one of them was shaja'at. We are shaji, we are courageous individuals. What is courage? Because now what we see on the day of Ashura, on the plains of Karbala, we see that that courage is not the ability to destroy an enemy. That courage is not the ability to shed someone's blood. That courage is not the ability to have your army defeat another army. Courage in Islam is to do what that zamana, what that era, what that time is asking you to do for the deen of Islam, albeit against your own nafs and desire. Amir al-Mu'mineen fought in every single war in the Holy Prophet's life, except for one. He did not take out his Zulfiqar, his sword, until his own Khilafat had three civil wars in it. 23, 25 years, those 2 decades of quote-unquote silence of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he didn't once pull out his Zulfiqar. And yet we can say that that was the most courageous time of Amir al-Mu'mineen's life. We think that courage and bravery is a man who pulls out a sword, begins to fight, and is courageous. We equate courage to brute strength, to physical ability. The Ahlul Bayt taught us no. It's not physical ability. It's the ability for you to capture your desire and your nafs, to make yourself the master over your nafs and desire. Your desire is telling you that's your khilafat, that's your government. Ghadir was your day. 70 days after Ghadir, Saqifah happens. And the whole world forgets about what happened in Ghadir. Imam Ali would have been justified had he physically fought for his khilafat, but he didn't. He was quiet, as they say. Those 23 years was, in my opinion, the most painful years of Imam Ali's life. Khutbah Sheikh Shaqiya in Nahj al-Balagha talks about that. You can read his words. His words are filled with pain. And yet, we believe that that was the epitome of his bravery and courage. Khaybar is there, Ahzab is there, Badr Ahad is there, Siffin is there, Nahrawan is there. All these wars are there. But that's not his courage. His courage was the fact that the deen of Islam required him to be patient, to keep the sword inside of him, to understand that right now the deen of Islam, after the Holy Prophet, is an infant. If you pull out the sword and create a civil war, it will destroy it at its very nature. And the enemies like Rome and like Iran during those days were waiting for that to happen. And he realized that. That's why we have a beautiful line in Najaf when we go, inshallah, Assalamu alaikum ya asbara sabirin. Of all the ones that are patient, Ali, you are the most patient one. That courage we saw in Abu Abdullah al-Hussein on the day of Ashura as well. Abu Fazl al-Abbas was a giant of a man. He was chosen for the day of Ashura. When Imam Ali went to his brother Aqil, he says, Aqil, find for me a tribe that is known for their courage and bravery, so I may marry into that tribe, give me a son to protect my Hussein on the day of Ashura. Abu Fazl al-Abbas was there on that day, chosen for that day, in the heart of his youth. In his 30s, some say he was. He would sit on a horse, his feet would drag in the sand, some would say. People would look at him and part their ways for him to come through. And here is a man who comes to Imam Hussein and saying, I cannot take the sound of Al-Atash in my ears of the children, nor can I see your dry lips on your face. Give me permission to go get some water, go fight for you. Imam Hussein says, we are not here to fight. If I was given a moment of permission from Allah, this war would be over. And yet we see that at that moment, what was more important than fighting and shedding blood was the exposing of the oppression of the Yazid of the time. And if that requires Imam Hussein to give his blood and those of his family and his companions, then so be it. That's why Ayatollah Bahtar Rahmatullah Alayh says that what Imam Hussein did on the day of Ashura was literally changed the definition of who victorious is. He says it was the only war where the blood defeated the sword of the enemy. That blood shed by Imam Hussein was a lethal blow against Yazid and his government, more so than any blood he would have shed against the enemy himself, Imam Hussein. That courage we see there is very, very difficult. Now when we come to today's day and age, in this era we live in, a very difficult time for the Ummah, where now it seems like there is a targeted group against those of the Ahlul Bayt. What is our duty? What is our role? And we often say that just like back then, there were three characteristics and three different missions. One was Yazidi in nature, one was Husseini in nature, one was Zainabi in nature. Yazidi was oppression, injustice. Unfortunately, injustice has to exist for this mission to reach its perfection. Husseini was that a mission where the blood is given, the actual fight is fought, the actual front lines are there. And Zainabi is the war of information, the war of exposure, the war of awareness, the war of insight, the war of basira and agahi, to be able to perhaps not pick up your sword, but pick up your intellect. Perhaps not pick up the sword, but make your voice heard. It's important that we in this day and age don't forget the fact that courage back then had nothing to do with physical brute or strength. Back then, courage was to do what the deen of Islam requires you to do today equally as well. We have to be courageous as well in doing what the deen of Islam is asking us to do today. And part of that is, number one, is to work on our own spirituality, build our piety, become at least 1% of the Ansar of Imam Zamana. And in doing so, part of the process is to expose the tyrant and the oppression of the time today. Imam Hussein didn't destroy Yazidiyat back then. He exposed it. But what Imam Hussein began on the day of Ashura, the Imam of our time will finish, inshallah, when he comes. From Ashur to Zuhur. It's an entire mission encompassing the mission of the Ahlul Bayt. We have a grand opportunity right now to complete the mission of Imam Hussein. We say what? فَيَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَعَكُمْ فَأَفُوزَ مَعَكُمْ. If only we were there, Imam Abdullah. If we were there, Abu Abdullah, we would also give our life and we would also gain success on the day of Ashura. Who said Ashura is done? The war of Kabbalah continues today. Yes, the characters have changed. The people have changed. But that war of Haqq and Batil, of justice and injustice, is very much alive today. Identify the Yazid of your time today and help the Hussein of your time today as well. If that requires you to take on a Husseini approach, then so be it. If that requires us in the West to be a Zainabi approach, where we are exposing and unmasking the oppressor of the time, then that is our mission and that is our courage. If we want to tread the path of Ba'Abdullah al-Hussein, we have to begin to inherit those qualities that he inherited from his father as well. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.